Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome everybody to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm here.
And
I'm DJ.
And here and I are once again talking about Dragon Quest protagonists. This episode we're going to focus on the protagonists from the Zenithia trilogy. That would be Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6. They have some of the most iconic protagonists in the entire series. But before we get to that, I got to do a follow-up from last week. Last week I mentioned that I thought the DQ2's protagonist was called Roland in the manga,
right.
And I said I couldn't remember if that was the Spanish version or the English version because of comparing notes with Liquid Metal Slime on Twitter.
And
I looked it up. I went back through the DMs from like 2 years ago to see what it was. And it's actually Lauren, L-O-R-A-N in English, and it was Roland in Spanish.
Okay. Yeah, it's better in Spanish.
Yeah, I really thought so too. I was like,
Yeah, I mean, that's sad. That does make me a little sad that anytime that they have American stuff that we get really weird, we get really strange translations for names and stuff sometimes. It's like, that's not a name. Like, maybe it's like, I don't know Spanish, so I don't know what the conventions are there, but usually in English, I know that people are like, oh, you can't have Dennis in your high fantasy kind of thing. Like, that's not a fantasy name. Roland. I know a guy who's named Roland, where like you don't see like a Loran and all of things like that.
Yeah. You can't have a guy named Dennis in a fantasy novel.
I mean, Dennis doesn't sound like a fantasy name as much as, you know, Aragorn. Son of Arathorn.
Well, okay, I get your point now. I was confused for a second. Yeah.
You
could have Dennis the Menace, who is a Vlad the Impaler type, like ruthless dictator who's like chopping off people's heads and goring them on pikes and things.
It's true, but in America it would be D apostrophe N-I-S or something like that.
Yeah.
And
it would be a Y instead.
It's true. D apostrophe N-Y-S. Is how you spell Dennis in American high fantasy, which is why we get terrible names, is because of people like me saying things like that.
Yeah.
And fantasy authors writing things like that, like Robert Jordan with everything with the owl apostrophe and things like that, and ill and things like that. Just stop.
Yeah. And well, and George R. R. Martin is really bad about putting Y's in places of I's.
He's like,
this changes the name enough. He just has like a normal name. Like, he would have a dude named Dennis, but it would be a Y instead of an I. And he'd be like, it's fantasy now.
Yep.
He does that with names.
Yep, he does.
The thing with Robert Jordan, the reason why I think that Robert Jordan does that is because in the Lord of the Rings appendices, I'm going to nerd out for just a second. The AL thing is like a way of seeing like, is like son of.
Oh,
so a
okay.
lot of the kings, like Aragorn, hit the line of kings
would
and stuff like
be
that.
Al Arathorn.
A lot of those in the appendices, if you look at that, has the AL moniker. And in Wheel of Time, they talk about it meaning like son of, or like you're from that family.
Right.
Like Al Thor would be like, you know, he's.
Isn't it like Al Mondragoron or something? Mondragoron or something like that?
Yeah,
his actual land. Yeah, his actual land, Al Mondragoron or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
So.
And
going into that, you know, Robert Jordan just wanted to be the next Tolkien, which, you know, in a way he kind of was. He was very influential, but he took a lot of conventions from him as being like very traditionally Tolkien-esque fantasy.
Yeah, at least in the first novel.
I would say the first two or three. It's starting to get away from it more in four. I have no idea past that, but I feel like the second one still had that kind of Fellowship of the Ring feel, and three was starting to move a little bit past it, and four, I don't really see the Tolkien stuff nearly as much, the Tolkien influence outside of just being, you know, generic high fantasy, and but yeah.
For those of you just joining us, this is a Wheel of Time podcast now.
We are the Taverin.
Which also has an apostrophe in it. Anyway.
It does!
Getting over into Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6. Now, we did ask people on Twitter who their favorite Dragon Quest protagonist was and why. And an incredible amount of people mentioned the Dragon Quest 4 hero as being their favorite, both male and female versions of the hero, Solo and Sophia, as people call them. And so generally I felt like it came down to, when people answered this as their favorite, it came down to design. They like the design with these characters, or they liked it within the story. Like, they liked Dragon Quest IV so much, and the story and being the chosen one and all that, that's why they liked the protagonist. It was generally the two reasons why people gave. You and I have talked about, let's start with the female protagonist. You and I have talked about before about how we like the female protagonist in DQ4, but we don't like her design so much.
No. Like, I made a mistake of playing through the game as the female protagonist, and I say it was a mistake because I don't like the sprite that they use, the animations or anything, in the 3DS version. Like, I love the art that they do, but there's something about the way that they animated her and the way that they put everything together with her hair that I just didn't like looking at it the entire game. But I didn't want to restart it after I got through a bunch of it and got really tired of it. But yeah, I'm hoping that if they do a remaster, that it's not going to be quite as obnoxious, with kind of misshapen as the proportions that looked funny to me, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, my whole thing is just like, you know, why do female heroes got to be in One Piece bathing suits?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, she very much is in a weird One Piece bathing suit.
It's a very 80s look. Not just for fantasy, but just in general, you know, she kind of has basically a one piece bathing suit on. She has leg warmers, and then she kind of has like a perm in her hair.
It is very, very 80s permy, kind of aerobics, kind of Jane Fonda looking.
Yeah, it's what you would see if you cracked open the like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in like 1985. That's what you would see.
You're absolutely right. 100%. You're right. Yep. Yeah. I never could like quite put my finger on it, like what that look was. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's absolutely it.
And so I think I like her design fine. And I played as her. Well, now that I say it, I mean, it's been a while since I played 4. But now that I say it, I think the first time I played it, I played her. I know I restarted the game a while back and didn't get super far in it because I got distracted by newer games, but I did restart the game a while back, and I know for sure I picked her the second time. The first time I may have been the guy, but my thing is just like, I mean, and it's kind of fun playing as like an 80s video game character. I mean, she does look like just straight from the 80s. I think that the guy, I think he has aged a little bit better just because this is kind of just, I don't want to say generic, but, you know, like just broad fantasy protagonist. He has he has, you know, just kind of like the tunic, pants, boots, things like that. Somebody on Twitter mentioned the little one slime earring that's there and how they liked that slime earring. And that's a cool thing that I like from the character design.
I like that. And I like his headdress kind of thing. The circlet. Yeah. Where, you know, it's. Yeah, I don't want to say it's the generic fantasy hero kind of thing, but it's almost the traditional kind of Dragon Quest hero where they, like, right after Erdrick, like, when they started using that as a base for the designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's got the hair, he's got the circlet, like you said, and while he's entirely different, it's definite, it is definitely drawn from that kind of art style, that design style.
Yeah. And I also really like the green hair. I like people in video games to have like different color hair. So I'm always like more interested in the protagonists that have different color hair, unless it gets overused. Like I thought Star Ocean almost always has a blue haired protagonist. Like that's just a thing in Star Ocean games. Not every game, but most of them have a blue haired protagonist. And then the trailer for Star Ocean, The Divine Force, came out, you know, like a month ago or whenever. And I mean, I'm excited for the game, but like the protagonist looks super stupid. He doesn't have blue hair. Which isn't the only reason he looks stupid, but he looks stupid. And now I disagree. I want a blue haired protagonist.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you loved it when I came and visited this year. I had my, my electric blue hair and you were like, yeah, you're my protagonist.
I did not say that.
That was it. You're like, you're the hero of my story, BJ.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said. Yes. That sounds
I walked in the door and it's what you said.
That sounds exactly like me.
And I was like, oh, thanks, Austin. I appreciate that. You're the hero of my story. And then we hugged and it was a moment.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Yep, you said you disagree. You don't think the protagonist looks stupid?
I never thought about it. Like,
really? I thought we had a whole conversation about his like scrunched up face. He looks like a big dumb dude.
I'm looking at what was the Star subtitle
Ocean,
of it again?
Star Ocean, The Divine Force. He looks like he's like in a hairband. Also from the 80s. He has like the kind of like feathery blonde hair, but his face is like really squished together.
It's not his face, it's his dumb hair. It's his weird like hairband Flock of Seagulls haircut. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I forgot about him. Yeah. I locked him out of my mind. He is not what I was picturing for this one. I think I may have been picturing Tales of Arise, but yeah, he's dumb.
Oh, Tales of Arise. Yeah, I like Tales of Arise.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know what the problem is. But yeah, this guy's dumb. The Divine Force. This guy's got a dumb face. Dumb hair. Dumb face, dumber hair.
Yeah.
Tell him my sex tape.
So I think that, you know, in terms of DQ4's protagonist, I would probably rank them both somewhere towards the top of my favorite designs. Like I do really like both of them, but also like 4 is probably my favorite Dragon Quest game after 11. Like I really like 4. I really enjoy 4 a whole lot. And
I think looking back on 4, I like it a lot better than I did playing it.
Yeah.
I was real frustrated with it and didn't really enjoy it at times. And now looking back on it, I can see it as a whole now that I've finished it and have some distance from it. I'm like, yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah. I really like 4. And so I think maybe that's kind of skews how much I like the protagonist in this one. Just kind of going off what we said in last week's episode about like them having personalities. I do feel like there's still not a well-developed like personality with these protagonists. Like they're still fairly blank slate. You are kind of the chosen one, but I think for whatever reason, I feel like the protagonists in 4 feel like they have personalities, even though they don't really, because of the cast of characters that are around them. The other characters are so well developed and have their own little quirks and character traits and stuff that somehow that kind of is reflected off the protagonist. Whereas if that protagonist was in a game like 3, where you're creating your own party members and stuff, I feel like the protagonist wouldn't really have a personality.
Yeah, not really at all. And it was after 4 that it really started picking up, having more of a fleshed out protagonist with a backstory and everything, which, again, they started with 4. They started having, you know, the Erdrick, but, you know, you had a starting village, you had a family, you had all of this stuff going on that was constantly referenced. And then in 5 onward, it started really building from that.
Speaking of 5. There were a number of people who said that they liked DQ5's protagonist the best. Not necessarily, none of it was really related to design the way DQ4's protagonists were.
Yeah.
Most of it was story. Because I feel like Dragon Quest V is where you get a hero who actually feels like a character.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of design, though, talking about design first, I really like his design, and I brought this up in in one of my old Dragon Quest Austin yep. blog post, or maybe it was in my book. I don't know. It's something Dragon Questy that I wrote. There's a lot. I can't keep up with it anymore.
It's like, yeah, no one will ever be able to find it based on that criteria.
Yeah, there's a lot of it out there now. But I mentioned one time I was talking about how much I liked the design because of it's really the first time in the series, I feel like, where so much effort went into designing this character with his role in the story and in gameplay. Like you're a shepherd in this game, and you have like the walking stick that, you know, kind of almost looks like a shepherd's crook. It also signifies, you know, that he's this wanderer and everything because he's traveling. His clothes are a little bit raggedy to signify all the like terrible, awful things that happened to him over the course of the game. You kind of have the turban, the headdress, whatever you want to call it, up there, which kind of goes into that shepherd look, especially if you just like, you know, if you look up like like shepherds from the Bible or something, there's like almost that cliche, you know, look right there. And so I feel like they did a really good job with designing Five's protagonist in terms of just making him, his design makes sense for the story, but also just like the gameplay elements, you know, with, cause he is a shepherd in a lot of ways with taming animals, monsters, mm-hmm. And using them in battle and everything. And so I think it was really clever what they did with DQ5's protagonist.
Yeah, I mean, I really like how Five actually is a person. And you see, both of them are people. I mean, you play his dad for a little bit at the beginning. Right? I'm right. That's who you're playing as at the beginning before you swap in because he's a baby.
I don't think you ever control him. The game does start with him. I've only played Five once. The game does start with Pancras like pacing back and forth and everything. And then you do name it at the main character as Pancras, but then it skips ahead and you're a little boy and you're just following your dad and stuff. And then you take,
okay. I was thinking that you were leading the kid around, instead of the other way around. So no, I'm wrong, but he's also cool enough that people got your story out of it, where he is a fully fleshed out character and a protagonist of a movie that whether you love it or not, you know, exists.
I love it.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it many a time now and I really like it. I think that is probably why they chose that one, other than, you know, Yuji Horii has said that that's his favorite Dragon Quest game.
Yeah.
But I think that, another reason for choosing that one is because of how good the story is, but also how well, I'm trying to think of a way to put it here that doesn't sound just like overly pedantic, but like because of the way people feel about that character, because he goes through so much, it really makes you feel for DQ5's protagonist. And I think I'm not one of those people who just love DQ5. Like, I thought it was really, really good the first time I played it. And like I said, I've only played it once. But as I've gotten, like, away from it, kind of like you were talking with 4, as I've gotten more and more away from it, it's still one of my favorite games, but there's definitely several Dragon Quest games I like better than 5 now.
Mm.
But DQ5's protagonist is probably my favorite. Like, if I were having to tell someone what my favorite protagonist was, I would say it's DQ5's protagonist. Other than 11's protagonist, DQ5's protagonist is the only one that I bothered buying a Bring Arts figure for. And maybe it's the only Bring Arts figure that exists now that I say that. But it's the one that I was like, when I saw them coming out with that, I was like, oh, yeah, I have to get that one because I like that design and because I like that character. And, you know, no matter how you feel about the other Dragon Quest protagonists, I think Fives is the one that really feels like their own character.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way about some of the later ones. I feel that way about, honestly, with 9 and 11 as well. Like, those are probably the most fleshed out protagonists to me.
In 9? But the 9 one is just you.
But the 9 one has the story behind everything going through with the Celestials. And I feel like even though it is just you and it's a creation, like it's not a pre-generated character, I feel like that is secondary to because you still play a part in the story with a background and mentor and everything that really makes it feel like a character to me. Like, I think about that one more than just about any of them. Like, I think it's my second favorite, and I think 11 is my favorite protagonist. So, not 7.
We're going to get to 7. Cool your jets, man. We're going to get there. Next week, actually, because this is 4, 5, and 6. So, we'll be there next week. I think with DQ5's protagonist is that you feel this personal connection to him more so because, I mean, you're there for his birth. You see him being
right. Birthed.
And then you play as him as a little kid for a pretty good chunk of the game. Then you play as him as like a young man. Then you play as him, you know, for falling in love and having kids. And then, you know, you turn to stone for like 8 years. and then, you know, your kids are grown and you have this family now and you're like protecting them and you're going off to save the world and all of this kind of stuff. I think that all of that kind of is really why he stands out to me is because like you play through his life. Like in most, if not all of the other Dragon Quest protagonists, it's like you're with them for a very brief time. You're with them for this adventure.
Yeah.
But with DQ5's protagonist, it's like you're there. You like hit all these milestones, you know, like all the milestones that you would hit in real life, being born, having a parent die, moving, you know, being in jail for 8 years. Falling in love, getting married, having kids, like all of these things are like these like hits, you know, pretty much all the major life events that you encounter in real life. And I think that's why DQ5's protagonist really just stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to be able to watch from, you know, as your kids go through these, when they spend their 8 years in prison or frozen in stone, you're going to be prepared to handle that because of DQ5.
Yeah. Well, I think in that instance, I would be the one in stone. And then
would
I
would.
Yeah. And then I wake up and you've taken care of them because you're Sancho in this. You'd be Sancho. And then Grace and I are like stone for 8 years. And then we pop out and the kids are grown and Naomi's the chosen one. And we're like,
yeah, that's fair.
Really quickly, before we continue this discussion, though, I think it is time for a little shameless self-promotion.
It's so shameless. It's so shameless. It's that time of year. Shameless, 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 shameless. We are here.
So we do have a Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. There's all sorts of goodies for you guys to check out. There are minisodes. There's rewards we like to give out. There's even a Dragon Quest TTRPG 5e compatible game that we've been kind of working on in our free time. And BJ posted something new up there today.
Yesterday. It was yesterday that I had posted it where y'all can check it out. It's the first page of the Castle of the Dragon Mage thing that we're working on. Super rough draft, obviously, but if you want to see what we're doing, go to Patreon and check it out. And it is for patrons only. So thank you guys.
Yeah. So just a shout out to all our patrons who keep supporting this podcast and all the kind of creative endeavors we try to come up with. And hopefully you guys like all these little things we've been sharing with you guys just to say thanks for, you know, supporting us while we're working on this stuff on the side. It's been really nice. So thank you guys. Getting back into today's episode real quick is Dragon Quest VI's protagonist. Now we got to talk about this one because a couple people said they like Dragon Quest VI's protagonist. Not many. I think probably less than any other hero that was mentioned, at least on Twitter. And we got a pretty good chunk of responses, like around 100, I want to say. Actually, way more than that if you count the quote RTs that were in there. So we got a pretty good amount of feedback from people on what their, you know, favorite protagonist is. And 6 didn't get as much love, but I think that's because 6 as a game doesn't get as much love.
Right.
You have not played 6, so I don't want to spoil too much in our discussion here. Anybody who's listened to this podcast for very long or knows me at all knows that I really love Dragon Quest VI. Like as a game, I think I probably like Dragon Quest VI even better than 5, even though I like 5's protagonist way better.
Yeah,
I do think I like Dragon Quest VI as a game better. I just, whatever it was, once you know, the game really clicked for me. At first, I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then...
Yeah, you were talking about quitting it a lot.
Yeah, well, part of the reason for that was that I was trying to beat every Dragon Quest game in a year, which I did.
You did.
but part of that was that I had already played and beaten 7 and I did not enjoy 7 my first time playing through it.
Yeah.
And then I went back and played the Xenithia trilogy after I beat 7. So I played 4, loved it, 5, loved it. And then I got to 6. And in terms of structure, narrative structure, 6 is very similar. You know, there's a huge chunk at the beginning where you don't have vocations and then you unlock those later on. And so at first with 6, it, you know, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this again because of my feelings for 7 back then, which, you know, I mean, I like 7 now. And then the other thing was that, and it's still, I think, a valid criticism with the game, is that the game is very bad about telling you where you need to go. And the story is convoluted. Story's convoluted. It's confusing about where to go sometimes. And it's just, I mean, it is a flawed game, but I love it anyway. And with 6's protagonist, though, I feel like in terms of the story, 6's protagonist has no real personality. I mean, he's got friends there at the beginning, and there's a cool like little twist with his character later on. I don't want to spoil for you, but there's like some things there. But I feel like compared to as a follow up to 5, the protagonist is just kind of like, okay, he's a dude with spiky hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I like his design. I really like the kind of the blue spiky hair that he has, the look he has. I feel like is really cool. And I do like his design, but as a character within the story, he's pretty meh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things. I don't know anything about 6. Like, I know some stuff about 6 just from hearing you talk about it and other people, but I don't really know anything about the protagonist. And it speaks to exactly what you're saying.
What are your thoughts on his design, though? You haven't played the game, but you've seen his design.
I really like his design. He's pretty. I think
he's purdy.
He's pretty. Like, that's about all I know.
I put this on Twitter a while back because in my free time, this is what I do. But I was realizing how much the Dragon Quest VI characters are almost identical to Chrono Trigger's characters.
Yeah, and very, very similar.
And these games were in development at the same time. Yuji Horii has even said that Chrono Trigger is probably why DQ6 didn't turn out as good as he wanted. You know, they cut out, like, story beats and just you know, multiple things from 6 because of Chrono Trigger,
which I'm fine with because I love it. Chrono Trigger is one of my favorite JRPGs ever.
Yeah, like, so I found shots, artwork, official Toriyama artwork of all of these protagonists, and like even their poses are really similar. Like, you look at Chrono and DQ6's protagonist, and like they even have similar poses, hair, like everything looks very, very much identical. Terry and Frog, like their buckler and sword and everything like that. I mean, it's like uncanny. I mean, they're almost in like the same position in some of the official art and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously Carver is Robo.
Very, very much, yeah.
And there's just like all these similarities. And I put those on Twitter a while back. If I think about it, I'll, you know, try to link to it in show notes this week. But anyway, just side by side like that. And just, again, this was me just in my free time. You know, I put them side by side for each one. They're also like the numbers of each of them, you know, line up really well. I guess there's Amos, who is an optional character in 6. There's a couple other optional characters. And then you have, what's his name? Not Dalmagus in Chrono Trigger. What's his name?
Magus?
Yeah, that you unlock as a character.
Yep.
Later on, who's a bad guy. Yeah. So there's some similarities there, but not necessarily with like designs or anything. But just in terms of like the main characters that are there, there's a lot of similarities. And so I think it's one of those things that now that I've seen it, I can't get over it for just like how similar they look.
Yeah.
Where when I look at Dragon Quest VI's protagonist now, I'm just like, man, that in a lot of ways is just like a recolor, reskin of Chrono.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. If you color his hair red, he looks really similar to Chrono.
Yeah. But I mean, like the sword, the way their hand is out and everything, like there's very similar poses and everything in the Toriyama art that is just uncanny, like the X-Men.
Or the Valley.
Yeah. How appropriate, kind of. We're talking about character design.
Designs that look just a little off.
Yeah. Overall, though, it's like I like 6's design fine. I think out of the Zenithia trilogy, both in terms of character design and importance in the story, Sixes is probably the on the lower end for me, even though, again, right. I love Six. I think in just looking purely at protagonists, I'd probably rank them like 5, 4, and 6 personally for the Zenithia trilogy. But I mean, still, they're cool. I like them.
Yeah. I like Six's design a lot. He's pretty, but
you also like the spiky hair and the blue hair.
I do. I like spiky blue hair, which is why I had spiky blue hair for a good part of this year. So, I mean, you're right.
Yeah. That's it. Imagine him with like brown hair and a flat top and you wouldn't like him anymore.
Mm-mm. No, I wouldn't. He would just be like, "Oh, that's Austin."
I don't have a flat top.
I know you don't.
Could you imagine me with a flat top?
No, that'd be weird. I like you better with short hair than long, but not with a flat top.
Yeah. This conversation's going off the rails now. But thank you guys for hanging out with us for a little while today while we chat about the protagonists of the Zenithia trilogy. We'll be back next week to talk about the next protagonist in the game, at least 7, 8, and 9. We're gonna try to fit in 10 and 11 too, but that's going to be a lot of protagonists to cover in a very short period of time. But either way, we will continue this discussion next week. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find us at DragonQuestFM. If you want to chat with us on Patreon or check out any of the cool stuff that we mentioned earlier in the episode, you can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can find me on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beege. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can join us on Discord and talk to us at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And don't forget, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And you can see some of the new cool 5th edition stuff that we have previewed for you this week.
Yeah, and we have merch that we keep forgetting to mention. Where is that at?
DragonQuest.fm/merch.
Okay, cool. I can never remember, and that's the easiest thing in the world to remember, that URL.
It is. Yep, it is.
DragonQuest.fm/merch.
Yep.
Okay.
We're
not doing a bit, by the way. I legit can't remember, and I was recording. This isn't a bit. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.